Hey folks, this is Dr. Van Breeding. Mountain Comprehensive Health Corporation's vision of healthcare was designed to serve your entire family. And our mission starts at birth. No one knows that better than us with the delivery of thousands of babies over the years. MCHC has put together the best providers and medical staff possible because we know a healthy family is a happy family. Schedule a preventative checkup today at your nearest MCHC clinic.
MCHC.
Providing better health for a longer life.
You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Brady, it's been a crazy week, as always, I feel like, in the SEC for college basketball. What have you thought about the game so far this week?
They're all high level. I mean, I started looking at the schedules all over the board the last couple days, and I mean, I feel like now that Vandy's a little bit better, I don't really see any game that's remotely easy. I mean, now it's everybody's at the top, so it's awesome to watch Saturday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays now.
Yeah, I don't know that the word easy exists. That is definitely not what the E in SEC stands for sure. Brady, I was thinking about, you know, it's that week, right, where John Calipari makes his return to Rupp Arena, and you've had, you know, all my mind shifting, and I thought about this story, and I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this. You know, obviously, you worked with John Calipari before. I got to meet Coach Cal with, you know, doing all the summer camps and that kind of thing. I got to meet Mark Pope at the first of this season and, you know, was blown away by that conversation with him. But I was thinking the other day, Brady, do you know who the coach that I've been most intimidated by when I've met? Like,
I don't even know.
Just about fangirled, and I was nervous, man, and intimidated. Yeah.
Who?
Rick Pitino. The one guy that when I met, I was like, I don't even know if I can talk right now, but that was the one time.
I've seen him, you know what, after seeing and meeting a bunch of coaches, just being in it, he's the one. I've never met him. I've seen him close, but I've never met him.
Well, just beware, you might freeze up kind of like I did. You know, being a Clay County boy, I think the only thing I could talk about when I met Pitino was Richie Farmer. Well, that just kind of came out natural, right? It was that mutual connection, but intimidated. We have a guest on here today, Brady, that we're going to talk to that knows Coach Pitino all too well, and I'm sure has all kinds of Pitino stories that he's heard in his life and probably completely understands why I froze up a little bit in that. Are you ready for me to tell you who we have today?
Let's hear it.
Brady, we're talking two-time Tennessee Mr. Basketball. We're talking 1996 national champion for not the guys from Tennessee, but we've accepted him as a Kentuckian at this point, right? A 1996 national champion for the Wildcats. Brady, today we are joined by Oliver Simmons. Oliver, thank you so much for hopping on here. Man, I cannot wait to talk to you and hear some of the stories we might have.
Well, listen, Brady, thanks for having me on. I'm pretty excited about this. And you'll have to tell me if it's a clean show before I tell Rick Pitino stories or not. So are we family friendly or are we open?
We're open.
We are open and thankfully pre-recorded, Oliver. So I understand with the Rick Pitino, we might have, you know, we got to clarify first, right?
For sure. I mean, I'll give you the one that I've given to people for the last 30 years. He's probably the greatest basketball mind of any human being I've ever met. He can also be the greatest jerk of any human being I've ever met. He has the ability to do both. Now, he's changed drastically since 1996, but I make that joke all the time. Like, just amazing basketball mind, but very hard to handle back in the 90s.
But he still has it, and it's remarkable. And you see some of these coaches that are older that have lost the touch of this generation. And I mean, I watched his game last night or night before, and I mean, he is rolling right now.
He just said it last week. He said, "If you're not learning, you're dying. Like you might as well give it up." And like that's, there's nothing else. And now, like again, him and I are not that close right now. But as far as what is important to him, you know, basketball is up there regardless of everything else. Like that is, I hope and pray that he doesn't do it to where he dies on the sideline. But honestly, it's his life. Like that's what he does.
Honestly, it's been very impressive. You know, we've seen college basketball evolve so much over the years, and he's that one. We've seen so many coaches fall off with the evolution, and he's that one guy that has been able to remain in the game through all
For
the
sure.
evolutions, and it's really impressive. Well, Oliver,
For sure.
I love to bring you in on this show. Obviously, you know, I've already spoken to some people close to me and let them know that, you know, we were going to be talking to you this week. They were uber excited to hear from you. You know, I feel like it's been a while since a lot of the Big Blue Nation has been able to hear you and catch up with you. So I really want to jump into you, Oliver, and just talk about, you know, how did you end up Tennessee Mr. Basketball and end up being a Kentucky Wildcat with Rick Pitino?
So again, back then being recruited by everyone all over the country and just not really knowing. But the thing that people forget the most is my dad worked at the hospital in the UK when I was from 5 to 10. So I fell in love with the Twin Towers, Mel Turpin, Sam Bowie. That was when I was young. And then we moved to Nashville. So as soon as I started getting recruited, it was a no-brainer. I committed early in my junior year. Madly in love with the Wildcats, and honestly, life has many regrets. Leaving is one of my biggest regrets. But at the time, at 19, 20 years old, Patino and I clashed, and in my mind, I just wasn't physically, mentally tough enough to deal with it, and I ran. And that's something I regret to this day, just because it's always had my heart. Kentucky's always had my heart. There was no chance anybody else was recruiting me once I got up there. Once I met the guys once, you know, the Kentucky fan base took over. I mean, I can remember going to Rupp Arena and then playing the Monster Mash song, and then they would, you know, announce that I was there, and people would go crazy. How do you
Sold.
go anywhere? How do you go anywhere else? Like that was over for me. So, and the Wildcat Lodge, and just, you know, it was just a great time in Kentucky, great time Kentucky basketball. And I don't know how the boys do it now though, with the internet and all the negativity and all that stuff. Back then we didn't have that. It was great. Everywhere we went, it was just great. So.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, and we've kind of beat around the bush about that a little bit on the show with social media and how that changes, but that's got to be tough, right? And I feel like you're going to have some strength to be able to refrain from getting on there and seeing what some things happen. I mean, all the way around, that's got to
And
be.
I think that's where, like, I know the Kentucky fans are in love with Pope, and I know that's and they should be, and he's going to have his up and downs, but he's ahead of the curve with a lot of these things. The way he's got the boys' minds working and, you know, fighting through all that, I think that's where some of the older coaches that aren't in touch with the social media don't realize what's happening to their players. I think Pope is on top of it. I think he's filtering things. I think he's making sure the guys are not being overwhelmed by that, because I can see how hard that would be. I can see how hard that would be.
For sure. And I want to get into a little bit of a deeper dive here in a little bit about Mark Pope. Obviously, you have that
For sure.
relationship coming from that team, the teams that you were on at Kentucky, and I want to get into that. I want to hear too, Oliver, kind of bouncing back. You said that once, you know, once Kentucky got involved, I mean, where else were you going to go after everything that happened? When did that happen? At what point in your life did you realize this team that I fell in love with when I was in Lexington is where I'm going to get to play basketball?
Started my sophomore year. That's when they really started picking it up. And only being 3.5 hours away in Nashville, I'd go to games all the time. I think I probably went to more games than any recruit in the history probably of Kentucky basketball, because I could go every week if I was available, and 3.5 hours wasn't that far for my family to drive. And by the time I was a junior and senior, I was driving it myself. So again, it started my sophomore year. And like I said, there was no turning back. I played high level AAU basketball. Ron Mercer was on my team. We had 12 Division I players on our AAU team. Every tournament we went to, we would go to a local college. The college would have us over. I mean, I have stories about John Thompson at Georgetown recruiting us, Bobby Knight at Indiana. I mean, like I said, whatever town we were in, we played in Carolina. We went to all the Carolina schools, Duke, North Carolina, NC State. Like every tournament we went to, we would visit a college, and it never impressed me. It never did. Like I just knew that as soon as I was going to be able to be allowed to commit, that's what was going to happen. So,
Was there one that you didn't like the most? Like, where you went away and you're like, why would anybody go there? Like, if you were on all those campuses.
for me personally, it was Tennessee.
Yeah,
Just because I sat in the office. Gosh, who was the coach in the 90s? It was dark-haired gentleman. That'll come to me in a minute. But we sat in his office, and he was trying to really sell me and Ron to play in there. And I said, "You can talk to Ron all you want." I go, "But an orange uniform with my hair, never gonna happen. Like, it's never gonna happen. So, like, so you can stop talking right now. Like, it was a waste of your time. It's never gonna happen." So, yeah.
I can tell you, I know, how long has it been since you've been back to Kentucky to visit Rep
Just a
Arena?
few months. I've been there 3 times this year already. So
Awesome. Awesome.
I went early in the season, then we went for Madness, and then I went a little bit after that. So
Well, you probably already know this. I'll tell you that Big Blue Nation, you still have them. Don't worry about that, but I'm telling you, I could take a clip out of there and you just answering that question Brady just asked you, and you've won them back over all over again, I feel
oh gosh, last night was amazing. My
like.
family, my wife, everybody was. My daughter, I have a first grader. She went to bed an hour late because I was like, I didn't want to pause it. I didn't want. I was just. I'm so into it. It was such a great win for the guys, for Coach, for the Big Blue Nation. It was awesome. So.
And honestly, historically too, it's weird. Kentucky goes down there and plays well in that building a lot more than better than they really should. Because Tennessee, Rick Barnes has done a great job there.
Rick
And
Barnes is amazing. Amazing. I coached in Tennessee for several years, and we had a playoff game in Knoxville, and I got a hold of him and his staff, and they let us come over and do our shoot around there, and then we got to watch him practice. And I'd never met Rick Barnes. I hadn't seen him in years. He probably recruited me, but like in the middle of practice, he called me out to half court. I was like asking me what I thought about his guys in the drill, and I was like, are you serious, coach? Like, I thought it, I mean, he was just so easy to talk to, and like he honestly like showed like interest in what I was saying. It was amazing. Like he is a class act, like an amazing basketball coach. Like when they hired him, I was worried right away. Still am. I mean, luckily he probably only has a few more years, but I was worried when they hired him. Rightfully so. He turned that place around quickly.
He's done a great job, I think, recruiting kids that fit with what he's trying to do, and like him, them finding Zakai Ziegler out of nowhere, and even Vescovi, the Fulkersons of the world, like those guys just fit with what he's trying to do. And then those teams with Schofield and those curl, I mean, he runs great stuff. If you're a basketball guy that
Sure.
watches his stuff, I mean, he just gets guys that can really flow into his offense.
And that's my thing. Like I'm a basketball junkie, like offense, what they're running. Like I sent a tweet out right away when they were trying to get Pope, and I was like, he's an offensive genius. Like you guys don't understand. When I was coaching, he was running a continuity ball screen. That's what I was running. So I'm hitting him up, like, send me all your breakdown drills. Send me everything. And he did. Like, I mean, he is. I knew offensively he was going to be cutting edge. And some of the things he said to me in the preseason, I'm like, I can't wait for the next 2 years and what he's got in his ideas. Like, I can't wait. So.
Well, and to add to that too, he's now, not to say that he wasn't getting kids at BYU, he had a really good teams, but now that he can get the talent of a Kentucky player with his offense
And
combined.
I said the exact same thing in a tweet. I said he beat Kansas and those schools with BYU kids. Wait till he gets Kentucky kids. Wait till he gets Kentucky kids. Like, sky's the limit for our program. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to have our bumps and bruises. We already have. We're going to lose games we shouldn't lose. That's just the way basketball is, especially now more than ever. We're not going to have another 96 team where we're beating everybody by 25 points. Like, those days are over now. But night in, night out, he's going to put a product on the floor that we can all enjoy watching. So,
Well, you look at, you just look at the what he's been able to do so far this season against, AP top 25 teams, and you can't help but to, as just a fan of basketball, especially a fan of Kentucky basketball, to not love what you've seen on the floor from them this year with his style and
for
coaching. So
sure.
it's been amazing. I'm gonna take one of Brady's favorite questions. It's usually him asking this, but it's got my mind turning. You talking about, that relationship where you're able to text Coach Pope and get some of those ideas with continuity offense and et cetera. And it brings me back to the question Brady always asks. When you get to Kentucky, obviously you spent some time in Kentucky. You said it was a no-brainer where you wanted to go once that came into the picture. So you know Kentucky basketball, Oliver. Was there a moment though when you get to Kentucky, you're back in Lexington, did you have like a welcome moment that you're never gonna forget that was just like, oh wow, I'm here now?
You mean when I first got there or after I've left and come back?
When you first got there.
Oh gosh. I mean, the first Midnight Madness, so it was Midnight Madness back in our day, the first Midnight Madness when campers were camping out and they were, because it was right by our walk at Lodge, and that's when it really hits you, like, these fans are all about it. Like, they're sleeping out, they're missing class, like, they're lined up. Like, those are the kind of moments that I look back and I'm like, wow. Or going into Rupp Arena and playing a game in there. Like, it's just so different. Like, I played at Duke, I played at Cameron, I played at UNC. Like, it's just not the same. It's just not. They can say it all they want, it's just not the same.
What was the madness? They were doing it Memorial then, right?
It was Memorial.
That was cool. I've always wished they would go back to doing one there. I mean, but it would be, I
Yeah,
mean.
so Jeff Shepherd came out of the tunnel and did a cartwheel. So he threw a lob to himself, did a cartwheel, and caught it and dunked it. And then that was back when Derek Anderson was doing the whole off the backboard all the time. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was awesome.
So did you, your first year of Madness, did you all have like they do Madness now, did you have the walkout song when you got introduced to the
We did not. We
okay.
did. We all. I can't remember what we did, because I was there 2 years. I don't remember. One of them, we came down the steps at Memorial, kind of like they did this year. They recreated that for Pope. We just didn't have our own song. We didn't pick our own song, but we came down different steps, just things like that. So it wasn't quite like it is now with the songs and the rapping and all the floor and everything else. And how crazy was that floor? That was awesome.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
So glad they were able to do that for this change in eras of Kentucky basketball. Well, if you Oliver, if you could go back now and play at Kentucky, what's your walkout song, man, if you're coming out into Rupp Arena this time?
I don't know. I don't listen to the modern stuff, so I couldn't tell you. Like, I listen to Christian music every day to make sure I infiltrate my kids.
Are you there? Did we lose you?
We may have lost him.
Brains into positive things before they listen to. You there?
Yeah, we got you now. We lost you for a second, but you're back.
Yeah, I
No,
was just saying that I don't really have a song. Like, I don't listen to the recent stuff, all the mumbling and stuff. I can't have a hard time with it. So
I get you. Hey, I'm totally
I'm
good with
49
walking
now.
in.
Like, it's getting up there now. I'm getting old now. Like, I'm officially getting old.
Hey, I can walk out. I can get down to walking out to Rupp with some Big Daddy Weave or some Lauren
There
Daigle.
you go,
But
right?
hey,
Maybe Pope will let us walk out next year, right?
yeah, There we
As
go. There we go.
teams, we can walk out as teams.
Oliver, I want to hear a story. You played on the JV team in Kentucky. What was your experience with that experience like? Because I've always
Absolutely.
been, I think if utilized for colleges, I think it can be a massive asset. I would love to hear your experience with that.
You're not gonna like my answer to that. It was horrible. So,
Really?
and here's to tell you about Coach Pitino. So, we weren't like there was always an injury or always somebody missing, right? So, I would go the full practice with Pitino, then I would do the full JV practice at night. Or if there was a game, I'd do the full practice and then I'd play in the game. Finally, Sandy Bell came to. Patino was like, he only has 20 hours. Like he can't do all this. Like he literally was running me into the ground, and then he'd get on to me. I'd have a double double. I averaged a double double in the JV games, and he'd be getting on to me that I didn't play well enough, and we didn't win or whatever it was. And I'm like, I had a 2 hour practice with you, and then I had a full game that I came out twice. Like
Well,
so then he was like, cut. Then I had no more JV practice. So now I'm not even practicing with the team anymore. I'm practicing with his team. And then I'm playing in these random JV games. And it's me and Cameron and Nazi. And then a bunch of dudes from the college. Like we were playing like junior colleges and like we played Oak Hill. Like we were playing full teams of basketball players and we picked up dudes from school. Like it just wasn't great. It just wasn't. I mean, so.
Well, I was I preface that with if used correctly.
Right, exactly. If used correctly, so I just think now, like I agree with you, but players now is so different.
Yeah.
Like, if
Well,
you
it's
play really well, you're going to move up a conference and get more money. If you don't play, I mean, it's just wild.
yeah. Well, now you have junior college. You can go JUCO for 2 years and then still retain your 4 years eligibility now. So that would be like a BCTC, right? If they adopted a basketball team, they could be the funnel for Kentucky at some point.
It's totally different.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I remembered, back, I want to think, was it the 70s that Kentucky had a JV team, and then I knew that there
Back
was an
then,
era.
they couldn't play as a freshman, so they had to. They couldn't
Right.
play as a freshman, so all kinds of different rules.
Yeah. And it was crazy. And then I remember that revival of it at some point, and I never did remember. I wanted to think it might have been Patino, and I couldn't remember.
And just that 1 year too, it just
Yeah.
didn't pan out. So,
But man, I
yeah, if
looking
we
at
would
it.
have had a couple other guys play, like if some of the sophomores like Allen Edwards and all those guys, then we would have been a real team. We would have smacked people. But and don't get me
I'm
wrong,
still impressed.
there
You
was some good moments and some fun moments. Don't get me wrong, but for me personally, I was the only one doing double everything. So, like Nazi and Cameron, all of them were not. Like I was the only one doing double. It became miserable. So.
Now,
Well,
did I even see on there that Frank Vogel was on that JV
yep,
roster?
Frank was on there. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. So memories for
Think
sure and stories. Yeah.
about that group. Think about that group of people that was together. Like, I mean, NBA coaches out of that, NBA players out of that, college coaches out of that. Like,
Yeah.
wild.
Well, and I got to also hear. I was an equipment manager, or I was a student manager. I need a Kitely story. Because I've heard stories. I got to hear a story from you.
Like Kitely was just the guy you just went in his equipment room with him when things were rough. Like, and I had it really rough. Like ask a lot of my teammates, like Cameron Mills and I still joke about this because we argue who had it worse. In this last visit, we went had it we had the meal together, and I think I finally convinced them that I had a little bit worse. So I would go to Kitely just because he'd have that candy in his room. He'd have a soda pop or whatever, and he'd just let you like. Complain and bitch about Patino, and so I already have funny stories about him. He was just kind of there for us, kind of like the dad figure, always there for us. So,
That's awesome.
So you've talked a little bit about some of those experiences coming in. You talked about your entrance into Memorial at your first Madness. And we've got to, I love hearing the Bill Kitely stories. A lot of people with the hiring of Mark Pope have really been brought back to that, 96 national championship team. So Oliver, I've got a, do you have, you know, when Mark Pope was hired, he came in with all these stories, Jeff Shepherd telling some of these stories. Is there a moment to you that always brings you back to that group? That, because I know it had to have been a special time winning a national championship. Was there ever a moment that you just keep coming back to, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of that group of guys?
So it wouldn't be a moment as much as, like, and again, only a handful of people have that special bond of a team like that. And that's what it is. Like, again, I was only there for a year and a half at Kentucky. I was only with some of those guys for a year, but our bond is so strong. I've played on tons of teams. I was at Florida State for 3.5 years. I played overseas. Nothing compares to that group of guys. We literally message someone that messages every day. Like, we know about each other's kids. Like, Derek Anderson's son got his first dunk in ninth grade game last night. It's on Twitter. We're all on it, loving it, retweet. Like, that's just, it's just such a special bond. And it's from the hard things Patino put us through. It's from all the time that we spent together. It's from all the success that we had. It's just a bond that you can't explain. Like, those are my brothers, and there's nothing that's going to break that. Like, that's what, anytime you bring that up, that team up to me, that's what I immediately go to and think of is like, so Cal had his back. I don't remember what year. It's like 2012, I think, for like some type of fantasy camp. I remember this vividly. So 2012, that was what, 12 or more, 16 years since we won that championship. Pretty much everyone was about done playing, and we're all showing up to the Kraft Center at a different time, and within an hour we're in a 4-on-4 half court game with, like, some of us still have like pants and shirt, like what we rolled up in. Like, we were started off shooting, then somebody started talking shirt, like, and we're playing 4-on-4 before you know it. Like, but that, and then we're cracking on each other, and we're just having a good old time, and that just continues every time we get together. Like,
Who
every time we get together.
still has the most game?
At that time, it was still Antoine Walker. Right now, I couldn't tell you. Now we're much older. At that time, it was still Antoine Walker. So now everybody's a little bit older now, though.
I'm not surprised by that answer. I feel like we've seen.
Honestly, if we were to play now, I'm creeping up from being down here. Now I've got a couple guys out of shape. I'm creeping up a lot. I work out every day a little bit, so I'm not saying I'm in the top five, but I'm no longer the 12th guy, 10th guy. So that may disagree, but if we got on the court, some of them might croak out a little bit. So.
So this bond, this connection you've got, you all obviously, you said that there's not a day goes by where you don't hear from somebody. So when did you hear, did you kind of know before mainstream media got a hold, when did you kind of hear that your former teammate Mark Pope would get the opportunity to coach the Kentucky Wildcats? When did that happen for you?
So first, I make sure every podcast and interview I do, I make sure everyone knows that I was the first one in our group chat to shoot out Mark Pope's name as the head coach. And it was hilarious because they're shooting out all these top guys. Do you think we have a chance? And I said, forget them. Let's get Mark Pope. And as soon as I did that, they were like, oh, hell yeah, we didn't, like, didn't even think about that. Absolutely. Like, so I take credit for that right away. Mark knows too. He said it on the bus. With all the players, I wasn't there, but he said it on the bus that I was the first one. So I'm glad he remembers that. But no, we were hearing the rumors and the whispers. Honestly, I think Nazi Muhammad was really involved in finding out. He was telling us a few things as well. So it was just an amazing time. I was actually at an AAU tournament with my son, and trying to decide. I coach his AAU team. I was trying to decide, do I shoot down to Lexington and let dad coach it, or do I finish the weekend? That's just how excited we were. I'm really regret missing that one, but so yeah, we found out right away, just pretty much the same time everybody else did. But we had an idea that it was going to happen.
So you've been back in the arena a few times already this season, you said, to, support your former teammate and watch the great things that's going on at Kentucky. I want to bring in this coming Saturday, and we mentioned this earlier in the podcast, former coach John Calipari comes into Rupp Arena. And there's been a lot of discussion about this. Oliver, I'm not going to tell you my standpoint. I don't know Brady's standpoint. We've kind of talked about it. But how should, and I'll tell you how I feel later, how should fans respond when John Calipari walks into the arena on Saturday?
This is such a tough question to answer. It is such a tough question to answer. So for me, and we can talk about Cal because I'm actually good with Cal. Leaving, transferring, like, there's some people out there that do their own interviewing and podcasts that kind of drug me through the mud when I transferred, said some bad things about me. I think he's grown up now and does a much better job with his shows. But there were some people that didn't love that I transferred. And now I think with transferring being so normal, people have forgotten and forgive me. But at the time, they didn't. Calipari was the first one to really open his arms up and invite me back. And some other teammates, they had some different issues with Calipari, but me personally, he was amazing to me. He made sure I was invited to every event. He made sure I felt welcomed. He spoke to me just like he spoke to any other guys on our team. Like, he was great to me. So me and Cal are great with that situation. Now, Kentucky fans, they have the right to feel the way they want to feel. I think the last few years was rough. Again, love Cal, but I do think the game is passing him up. I think that is shown the last few seasons. It's showing right now. Hall of Famer, he deserves to be recognized as a great coach for us. I think it's going to be a mixture. I think we're going to hear plenty of boos through the applause as well. Like, I just think they are. I mean, Patino got it bad when he came back. And I do think, hey, you know what? In 10, 12 years when he's retired and some of his former players are working the Midnight Madness and they bring him out from the back like we did Patino, I think everybody's going to love it. Saturday, I don't think everybody's going to love it. I'm going to be a wreck that game. Like, we got to win that one. Like, I'm going to be a wreck on Saturday. So just because I don't want to hear all the crap from all the fans that, like, you know, don't get the fact that things happen ebb and flow during the season. Like, that's not going to be a pushover win for us. Like, they could be 0-12 right now, and he's going to have those guys fired up. The players that were there last year, they're going to have their teammates fired up. Like, it's going to be a dogfight. So,
absolutely.
And I'll add to that too. I kind of did a little bit something similar that you did in terms of transferring. Like, I had the experience at Kentucky, and then also I went to Arizona State. So saw two completely different fan bases and two completely different situations. So, like, the beautiful thing about, I think, experiencing both was the Kentucky fans are so passionate. So that what comes with that is great. I mean, when you're rolling and you're winning titles and you got that backing, there's nothing like it. I mean, you're going to hotels and there's,
but the venom comes out too.
There is. And that also it's the other side of that you got to just, you got to respect it. And I think I think the boos could come from. It's just, they're passionate. And I don't think it comes out of hate. I think if they do it, they're just competing. I think it'll be a little bit of a mixed bag. I'll be interested. I do have a prediction. I bet you they do like a video. I could see Coach Pope being like that because you gotta remember too, back in the day, Cal and Patino were rivals when he was at Louisville and Cal was at Memphis. Yep. And the UMass Boston Celtics. So, like, there's always been a competitive nature between the two. So the video didn't make total sense when he was coaching. But I think Coach Pope, I think they're friends. I mean, I'm just guessing. I think they're friends. I wouldn't see – I think they're cordial. I don't want to speak on behalf of them and their relationship. But I feel like there's definitely friendliness there. So I don't know. I think it'll be a mixed bag. Probably more cheers. I'm going to go on that one. Maybe more cheers.
Like I said, I think we'll hear both.
We'll hear both.
And Pope, I don't think has an evil bone in his body. I think him and Cal are great. I think he understands. Pope gets the big picture, and Cal, Hall of Fame, like, that dude is a legend. Like, he don't give a shit about their booze on Saturday. He does. He doesn't. Like, he is. He is amazing in his own right, and he will be fine no matter what happens on
Hey,
Saturday. So.
the thing that I'll give Cal, like Cal had probably one of the most epic 12-year runs when he was at Memphis to leading over Kentucky. I mean, he had like 31, over 30 wins in like 12 straight years and made an Elite Eight every
You're
year. Like that, I don't think that will ever happen again with today's, like even look at Danny Hurley. Like he's struggling this year and people were thinking he was going to be the next.
I mean, you go back, you think about Patino cutting edge with a three pointer, you think about Cal cutting edge with the dribble drive, the dunker spot, the lobs. Like he was cutting edge at the time, and everyone was trying to follow him. And unfortunately, it's just changed a little bit, and he's just having a hard time keeping up. I also don't think he surrounds himself with up and coming young basketball minds either. So I think it's a combination of things for him for sure.
I've decided, and I'm very happy with the answers. You know, we've heard Mark Pope and John Calipari both be questioned about this Saturday, and a lot of respect to both of their answers. You know, very respectful to each other, and I think I've decided. And I love what Mark Pope said about John Calipari. I love what both of you said. You know,
You're gonna
I think
boo, aren't you, Wes? You're gonna boo, aren't you? You're gonna boo. Yep. I
I
can see it in
think
his face.
there's
Raise that
man.
cheer. Wes is gonna boo. I got you.
Over half of my life has been John Calipari. I'm going to
Right.
give him the courtesy of giving a clap when he walks out. Now,
Are
once the
you gonna give
ball's
the
tipped,
clap and the boo at the same time? There you
yeah,
go.
now that might be it. That might
Yeah.
be it. But no mercy for Coach Cal once the ball is tipped. I can tell
No.
you that right now.
Oh, I hope Jackson Robinson is playing his game. I hope everybody's looking good. I hope Lamont's back. I hope it's.
What has been Obviously, you've got a little bit of insight on this, but what have you been most impressed with from Mark Pope coming into this year at Kentucky?
So, like I said earlier, basketball junkie. I went down to Lexington because I didn't want to see games. I want to see practice. Like I'm a practice junkie. Like I would go to practice over games any day. And a story I like to tell about him from the beginning, because again, I played for such a different man. This is why it resonated with me. So Amari was struggling in the live action. Made a couple mistakes, missed a rebound, a turnover, whatever it was. And he doesn't have the greatest body language to the naked eye of normal people. So he looked like he was getting down, and Pope stopped the drill. He walked over to him, had a conversation just between the two of them, patted him on the back. They went back to the drill. Two plays later, he gets an and one tip in, and Pope runs out and chest bumps him. And then they continued. Like, he didn't scream at him. He didn't put him down. He didn't tell him he had to do something. He went over, had a man-to-man conversation, personal, no one else needed to hear. And then he backed it up by encouraging the positive reinforcement. Like, and I told Pope that afterwards. That stuck out to me as a former player, as a dad who hopefully has a son being recruited one day. That's the type of man that you want your son to be around after you let him go and you pass him off to somebody else. Unfortunately, my father passed away 2 years ago, but he would not say the same thing about leaving me with Patino after my experience. He wouldn't. He was very upset about it, and that's kind of what I'm looking for wherever my son does go play. I'm looking for someone that can continue his tutoring of becoming a great young man. Like that's kind of what we're looking for, and that's what Pope is doing to these guys. I put that on a tweet last night about we have a God-fearing coach, leading our young men at this university, and you can't ask for something better than that. So,
Well,
was there
and
a time when you were playing? Where you're like, man, he's gonna be a coach, or like, could you see it? Because you play with people all the time that you're like, ah, oh, he could be a coach. Like, did you ever see that?
it wasn't so much he could be a coach, it was just pure, just of him because, like 25 pounds bigger than me, strong. He would run a 4-minute mile on the treadmill. He would be there, or like just in awe of him. Like, as a 19-year-old, he was a senior. Like, I just remember, like, this guy's an animal. Like, he's just, and honestly, I think that's how he got in the NBA because it wasn't like he was crazy skilled or crazy. Like, he just outworked everyone, and he had that ability to push the pain aside. And that's what a lot of people don't understand about these incoming freshmen. If you're not the elite Zion or the Duke flag from Duke, like, if you're not that guy, that transition to college basketball is difficult. Like, it just is. And I can remember seeing him, like, am I going to be able to do that in 4 years? Like, that is amazing to me. Like, and so that's what stands out most about him. I didn't really notice the coaching. I was trying to survive every second I could, but I was always in awe of how hard he worked and his ability to push pain aside and just lead us and by example and by his words. So, yeah.
Well, and I feel like you're seeing that reflected now, as you mentioned,
For
in his
sure.
coaching,
For sure.
and I can't help but to think that's reflected in the staff that he's built around him as well. You just heard him talk about Coach Alvin Brooks and him using the word Godfidence the other day, which I thought was great. But with that being said,
And props for him for saying that out loud in today's world where some people might
absolutely.
get upset about it. Like, you know what? That's his right. So.
And I just get that vibe, and from a personal experience, but I get that vibe that he is going to be who he is, right?
Without a doubt.
I got the pleasure. One thing that sticks out to me in my mind was earlier in the year, I got to attend a tip-off luncheon for the Greater Louisville Alumni Association, kind of as a fundraiser event for that dinner, and I heard one of the guests at the dinner asked Leanne Pope, "Is there something about this man, Coach Pope, that we don't know that you would like to share with us?" And her response, did you hear this? Do you remember hearing this
I
anywhere?
might have, but go ahead.
And her response, literally without hesitation, was, "He's really as good as he seems." And it's like, that to me, that stuck out to me, and I feel like what she means, but just like you said, being willing to step out and say something that's him, right? And
And that's from where our era, like the interviews that Patino did and the interviews that Cal did, not that they were not being themselves, but it's just different now. Like, what we see with Pope is actually Pope. Like, that is actually the way he is with everyone he interacts with. And go back to when I said he's an animal. He's an animal right now. Like, I doubt he sleeps much, and it doesn't affect him. Like, he's just a different breed. So.
let's quit building his head up here a little bit, and let's
Oh yeah.
think about
He won't listen to this anyway, so we don't have
has there been a moment, you talk to each other every day, has there been a moment this year, as great as things have been, where somebody in the group chat or maybe anybody has really called him out and been like, "Coach, come on." Has there been a moment that we picked on him at all this year?
There's no picking, but so a lot of the guys, they're so busy and they have so many things going on. They probably don't watch nearly as much of Kentucky basketball as I put Cameron Mills at the top. I would put like Wayne Turner, and then the rest of us all kind of fill in. Those two guys are 100% in, but the other guys are kind of busy. And they were really concerned about our signees this year. Like, they were concerned that they weren't athletic enough to play in the SEC, that we didn't have the same kind of concerns that everyone had at first, like, not sure who can do what. So those were some of the questions, but we're never gearing it towards Pope. It was more just like, hey, what do you guys think? Do you think we're athletic enough? Do you think? And I was one of the first ones down there watching practice, and I was like, guys, like, we're good. Like, we're good. Like, we'll be fine. Don't worry. Like, Pope's got this. So, like, yeah, so that would be sticking out, but we don't really give Pope advice. None of us, and he's above all of us at this point with coaching. I mean, we got a couple of college coaches on the staff, and everybody's been great to him about that. So.
I love it. I love it. Well, Oliver, you spent 3 years at Florida State, as you mentioned, after Kentucky. And then you mentioned playing some overseas ball. Let's talk a little bit about, tell us about pro ball and, your experience there, and what is Oliver Simmons up to now? What's going on in your life
Course.
today?
So Florida State was great. I always tell people, like, I had two different college experiences. I had college basketball at the top mecca, like, can't go to the mall without being recognized, can't do anything in Lexington, to Florida State, where, yeah, I was still a college athlete, played basketball, but I was also a college student. I could go to parties, I could go to the bar or the club. Like, it was more of a normal experience. I could go to the beach, I could do things like that. So I got the best of both worlds as far as that. And then afterwards, I started playing overseas. I went to Sweden, I went to Holland. I played in the International Basketball League, which is very similar to what the G League would be right now. I played for the Des Moines Dragons in Iowa. So yeah, I had a great time doing those things. I got injured when I was in Holland, weird fall on my tailbone, damaged some nerves in my legs. I was still able to play, but that kind of was the tail end of things. And then I got into coaching, and I never really thought I was going to be a coach or a teacher. I went to school, I have a business degree, but I got done playing, and I was actually in Texas, in Beaumont, Texas, at Lamar University, playing with the guys. And the coach at the time was like, "You ever thought about being a high school coach? There's a job down the road." And I applied with no coaching experience and no teaching experience, and they hired me. And it's been a whirlwind since then. I coached in Texas, I coached in Florida, I coached in Tennessee, and now I coached in Minnesota. And now I'm finally on the tail end of coaching my son's ninth grade team this year, and then I might coach my daughter's ninth grade team next year, and then that'll be it. So yeah.
So I follow you on Twitter, and it seems like the son's got a little up and coming career happening here, starting to really get into the game, huh?
Hoping he's 8th grade, 14, 6'5", shoots the ball way better than I did. Doesn't score around the basket as well as I did, but shoots the ball way better. Now we're just in that limbo stage where, is he 6'9", and now we're talking he can pay for college and go somewhere, or does he stay 6'5", and he's really got to accelerate some of his other skills. So we're kind of in that limbo stage right now. He's got moved up a couple times. He plays 1 grade up in AAU, so he's getting challenged, he's getting pushed. I try to remember, like, to keep life balanced for him, because that's one thing looking back that I regret. Like, I mean, growing up, I didn't cut the grass. I don't know how to change oil in my car like my dad did when I was gone. Like, I was at an AAU tournament, I was constantly in the gym. I try to balance that with him,
It's a different
because
life.
again, like, if you're not one of those elite top 1%, you're not making millions, you're not changing your life. So just kind of keep that balance while still pushing him to get better. So he's an eighth. He's 14. I have a daughter who's 13. She's in 7th grade. She is a bulldog. Like, she is tough as nails, kind of like her mama.
I was going to
She
say,
get
she get that for you, from
she
you or
got
from
that
mom?
from she got that from mama for sure. She got moved up to 8th grade, so she's playing well too. Big feet. She's like 5'7", but she has like 11.5 women's shoe. So
Wow.
we're just waiting for her to shoot up. Same thing for my son. Like, is she 6 foot or is she 6'3"? Like, that for women, that's again
Yeah.
the difference. She's going to be able to score around the basket no matter what. Like I said, she's just tough. She's a much different player than my son. My son would listen to everything I said about learning how to shoot the ball. My daughter would not. So they're two different style plays. She's kind of a hard-headed. But again, like I said, tough. So she scores over bigger players in size. She's patient, she's strong. So I'm enjoying coaching both of them right now. Like I said, I was a varsity coach for head coach for 22 years, and now I'm doing the lower levels for those two and really enjoying it. So,
And I
and
assume
she and
we.
she's the bigger Kentucky fan. Like, she
Okay.
loved Big Blue Madness. She made all the girls on the women's team bracelets that had their number and had UK on it. Coach Brooks was amazing. His staff was amazing. We got to watch part of their practice. He brought every single girl over so she could individually give them their bracelet and take
Wow.
pictures. I was blown away by him just as much as I was with Pope. And how about an entrance? His Big Blue Madness entrance was 100 times better than Pope's. It was badass for real. I liked his a lot better. And I told him that too. I like, yours was way better than Pope's. But so yes, but my daughter's a huge Kentucky fan. She would go there just to go to school, honestly, at this point. She's such a big fan.
And we can't the memorial renovations, that would be enough to get me to commit there if I was a women's player. That thing is nice.
It is. Yes, it is. They showed us around that.
I mean,
I
remember doing.
have some weird memories in there though, because you know where the wall is, we used to be all glass windows, and that was our locker room and weight room, and so that's where the treadmill was. Whenever I got in trouble, I had to run up there and get in the treadmill. So I was glad to see that damn glass wall gone.
With no air conditioning. So I can't imagine with the stories that you've kind of hit on with Patino in the summer conditioning and stuff like that. I can't imagine because I can barely coach a 5-on-5 camp game in there back in the day. I was dying.
So
One thing.
I do have one favorite Patino story. So if we want to get back to him at some point, I've got one, my absolute favorite Patino story. So
Well, I want to hear it because I was about to say, I feel like Patino must have loved the treadmill because I got a great treadmill story from Scott Padgett. But yes,
me, Scott, Cameron, like luckily the funny thing was, so Sean Brown was our strength coach, and he was a moody man, like a very moody man. So some days you go in there, and for me, not being one of the main players, he'd forget that I was on the treadmill. Like he would forget that I was on the treadmill. I'd be on there for 11, 12 minutes at 14 miles an hour, like crazy. And what I mean by Sean being moody is like some days he would put it down to four and he'd be like, just pump your arms and walk, and Patino will think you're running. And then some days you'd ask him to put it down and he'd dog cuss you and tell you how terrible you are. So I was like, I never knew what mood he was in. As I'm running up the hallway, I'm like saying a prayer, like, please, Coach Brown, be in a good mood. Like he literally forget about me. Like, you know, like Walter would get dog cussed and he'd be on treadmill 15 seconds and Patino would be bringing him back. I'd be in there 11 minutes. So I transferred. So I broke my foot my sophomore year, right around Christmas time. I broke my foot. That's when I transferred to Florida State. So I had a boot on my foot for 8 weeks. So I did no basketball for 8 weeks. I get released at Florida State. My very first practice was like an hour and 40 minutes. We're circled up at half court at the end of practice, and everybody on my team is bent over dying. And I'm standing there and I go, what the hell? I go, you guys would never survive a Patino practice. I haven't done anything in 8 weeks and I'm not tired. Like that was my eye-opening moment of
Yeah.
I'm no longer with Patino. Like it was crazy
Was
difference.
his practices just like so much up and down, competitive in it? Like, what was so tiring about it?
Everything. Like, first of all, so you get graded on everything you do, plus minus, and at the end of practice, you run for your plus minus. And that was another set of bullshit. I barely played. I got a minus 33. How the hell do I have a minus 30? I barely played, coach. How do I have a minus 33? So I got to run like 33 lines. I was in the scrimmage for a minute and a half. Like just things like that. Like, but anyway, so it was that. And then everything we did was just either full court. Like we had his legendary 3-point shooting drill was full court. We had to make a certain amount in a certain amount of time. We're dead sprinting, shooting threes, dead sprinting, shooting. And that we did that multiple times in practice. There was never a drill that we weren't up and down. And then you add on top of how hard he made it, think about how competitive it was. So like Mark Pope wanted to start. He's battling Walter McCarty. You know what I mean? Like Jared Pritchett is battling Antoine. So he changes Tony Delt from the one to the two, and now Anthony is battling Wayne Turner. Like every position, Ron Mercer is going against Derek Anderson. Like every position, like they're trying to kill each other, like to try to get playing time. So on top of how hard Patino made it, now we're going after each other, and we're so good that it was just incredible. Like it was just never
Well,
seen anything like it.
that's, I think that's, if I've never been a coach, but been in a ton of practices, I think that's the hardest thing for a coach to do is figure out how to make every drill competitive. 'Cause kids nowadays are just so different where like, I love the legendary, just like rebounding drill, right? Where people just hit on the pad, walk, get it. It does nothing. It doesn't translate. It's the coaches that can create that like competitiveness in each drill. And clearly, I mean, I would love to see a Patino practice now. I bet you he's doing the same thing. I mean,
It's very similar. It's just there's not 400 F-bombs. There's not like, you know,
only 300.
threats of people. Like, and the thing was back then as a 19-year-old, like all the mafia stories, like you don't know if it's not true or not. So like I'm worried to death that he's gonna like kill the whole family if I don't get this damn rebound. So like, you know, like it was just different, man. It was different. Like
I told you the most intimidating person I've ever spoken to.
So here's my favorite story. Okay. Here's my favorite story. So I'm right-handed. I honestly think that I'm naturally left-handed. I think my parents didn't know that and just kept shoving a pen or pencil in my right hand. Right. So I think I'm left-handed. So I throw left-handed. Okay. So we're working on a home run play where you're out of bounds. The four-man throws it the whole distance of the floor, right around the free throw line area, catch it, turn, do something, right? So first group goes, Antoine throws it perfect, boom. Our turn, I step up. I don't know why I'm in second group that day. Second group, I step up. So at the half court, we have a long table where the media would sit, right? We didn't have those fancy water bottles. We had the little tiny cups, green cups. So our managers had like 100 green cups on this table right next to the court, right? So our group comes up. And I throw the bomb, perfect catch, boom, score, turns around. Patino loses it, just starts cussing me out. You think this is an effing joke? You threw the god dang ball with your left hand. What the F is wrong with you? Like, in my face, spitting, cussing, screaming, get up there. And I'm trying my best to be respectful. But like, coach, I throw it. I don't give a damn. Like, screaming, do it again and throw it with your freaking right hand. So I'm like, oh, now I'm pissed. Like, okay, whatever. So the assistant coach hands me the ball. I drop back to throw with my right hand, and it just curves right in the table, hits the water. Get the f out of my gym. Just kicks me out, follows me up the tunnel. Get it. You think this is a, like, I told you I threw with my left hand. Like, I don't know what else I'm supposed to tell you. Like, that right there sums it up. Like, he in his mind, I'm right-handed, so I'm not doing it right-handed. I must be joking around, not taking it serious. Like, loses his mind on me. So that's my all-time favorite go-to story of how Patino treated me. I was kicked out in the waiting room the rest of the night. Like,
that is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's hilarious. I mean, that's a story that, like, you probably called your parents when you left there. Like, that story, and that's a story that, like, you think you're lying. Like, are you kidding? Like,
100%. 100%, they think I'm making that up. Like, there's all kinds of stories like that. That's just the way he was. Like, if he had it in his mind that that's what, like, and especially for me, like, he was always trying to break me. I'm pretty sure that was his whole goal, was just to break me and rebuild me the way he wanted me. But man, it was rough at 19 years old. I tell you that.
Amazing. My favorite part about doing these shows is hearing stories like that. That's great. That's great.
I can still see it the day the ball just curved. I was like, oh, crap. Just water everywhere.
You just knew already.
Oh, gosh. I was already walking towards the tunnel. I was like, oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Oliver.
I didn't even know treadmills could go 14 miles an hour, to be honest with you. I was blown away by it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Oliver, thank you for joining us. I really, really hope that you've been to RUP already a few times this year. I hope you come back again and we get to see you. Maybe have one of those RUP ice creams together. Brady's tight and he won't buy us one, but I'll get us an ice cream there at RUP.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we have one more, you know, kind of like Cal did. We have kind of a reunion weekend for a game. I'm hoping one comes up pretty soon. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, timing when you're a family guy in Minnesota.
That's tough.
It's a long way, so I'm hoping it works out. There's a couple Saturday games up that I'm hoping they call us up to it. So we'll see.
Well, amazing. Well, we hope to see you, and if we're ever in Minnesota, we'll be sure to reach out to you Absolutely. As well.
Anytime you need me on, man, I love it. I love doing this stuff, especially talking Kentucky hoops. So hopefully the guys keep playing well and we get something to talk about.
I hope so, too. Yeah, we can hop back on here maybe – hopefully talk about another national championship to hang up in the rafters, right? So, well, Oliver, thank you and appreciate it again. And as always, welcome back on the show anytime, and hopefully we'll have more to talk about, as we mentioned. You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Go Cats.
You know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.